final hour. Darren Donick and Chase on this gorgeous day here in Middle Tennessee. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Vols heading down to the Swamp to take on the Gators. To learn a little bit more about this Florida team, let's bring in the man who's been covering them for a long time and the man who was sitting next to me in the Georgia Dome, guys, when the tornado hit at the SEC basketball tournament. Yeah, he was sitting right next to me. I don't know if he knows that or not, but he was.
I can tell you, I was a millisecond away from going underneath that table there. I was about to duck for cover when stuff started hitting around us.
Yeah, at that point, I had already left. I was already headed for cover underneath. I had already picked up. I said, I don't like, because I saw one of those beams going back and forth. And I said, you know what? I don't think this looks safe. That does not look right. And I got out of there.
It's a night that you feel like it's a miracle that you were able to not only live through it, but all the people that lived through it. It's still a fascinating story and what happened. And then the way they were able to play that tournament at Georgia Tech was crazy, crazy.
No doubt. Something we will never forget, Pat, for sure. So did Saturday's game against Alabama surprise you in a good way, or did you think Florida could actually hang in there and give Alabama all they can handle?
I didn't think they would do it that way. I didn't think they would be as successful running the ball and as successful stopping the run. I didn't think they would be able to control the lines of scrimmage the way they were able to. I thought there was a chance they could hit some bigger plays, and obviously not having Richardson kind of changed that dynamic a little bit. But anyway, you watch them play and they go, okay, if they can keep it together and keep understanding the importance of every game, they still have a chance to be what they want to. They need to go into that Georgia game winner call, to go to Atlanta. That's all they want to be.
How were they able – because I admitted on the show, I punted after the first quarter. I'm like, yep, here we go, typical Alabama game.
They're
just going to go down there and rip Florida apart. It's 21-3. There's nothing to see here. Moving on to some more games. Luckily, there's, things like Twitter and other things to – or you just go back and you check and you realize, oh, it's a game again. So I watched most of the second half, but I just thought it was going to be typical Alabama stuff. How was Florida able to gather themselves after a bad first quarter and a bad start? And you could make the case, I don't know if you agree or disagree, that Florida probably outplayed Alabama the rest of the way.
Yeah, but you got to play for 60. So, I mean, they didn't outplay them in the first quarter, and that's where they lost the game. But they played at a high level, and basically they took away the run, and they could – if they could just get a pass break up here and there, they started playing a little bit more press coverage, and they were also quit whiffing on tackles. They were whiffing on tackles in that first quarter really badly. I just think they weren't used to the speed maybe of Alabama's guys making moves, or maybe they just were trying so hard they were running by guys. And then they started doing that, and offensively they never had any trouble after that. I guess it was the first series. Moving the ball. I mean, just they were smart enough not to try to take big chunks. Just take a little bit at a time, keep getting first downs, go down, score touchdowns. So, I mean, it's a plan. You got to be a pretty good football team to do it. You can try it too. But Florida ended up, as we all know, coming out of it with an L. So, in the end, it wasn't good enough to beat Alabama.
How would you assess their quarterback play to this point, and what is it going to look like moving forward?
Well, that's the question I think that nobody knows for sure, and a lot will depend on the health of both those guys. But, look, Richardson is a dynamic guy who has a lot to learn and needs to know the playbook, and before they're going to throw him in there and go, you're the starter, here are your six plays, they're not going to do that. So they're working with him on that, trying to get him better at that. And, of course, Emery knows the playbook and knows what he's doing, but has – I think physically has the talent. He's just got that. He doesn't have that twitch factor mentally where he's just not – don't wait until the guy's wide open to throw it. You've got to throw it when you know he's going to come open. And that's something – Felipe Frank said the same exact thing. you know, they've got a chance, though, with both those guys healthy, to play that two-quarterback system and really make it work, as talented as Richardson is.
Was it an anomaly that they were able to shut down Alabama's rushing attack and outrush them big time in that game? Or is that, you know, is that something that they're going to be hanging their hat on this season, depending on successful attack with the run and against the run?
Well, it's something that caught my eye when I was looking over the Alabama stuff going into the game, that Alabama had not been able to run it already. And I was like, that's kind of weird. That's what they always still are able to run it, even when they can throw the ball. And, of course, Najee Harris was great last year. But, you know, I mean, the bottom line is Florida was able to take that away from, and I think that's why a lot of were surprised. But I guess I wasn't surprised because they had a hard time running the ball. I think they were at 150 yards, but for Florida to hold them to 91, I think it was, that was a little surprising. I will say this, though. Alabama came out, and their plan was to throw a lot of short passes. So the running game wasn't essential to their success. And they didn't have to have it. But I know they didn't like that the game came down to the very end like that.
Talking to Pat Dooley about this Florida-Tennessee matchup coming up on Saturday in the Swamp. And looking at it from the other perspective, what's kind of been your view of this new-look Vols with Josh Heupel taking over a few games in? A lot was made about the offense that he was going to bring there, but – you know, how are the Vols viewed in your area as they get ready to come into the Swamp?
Well, I think, you know, we all, everybody who knows what's going on in the SEC knows that this is the trap game that they love to put there for some teams, you know. And that this is not, you know, it's not an ideal game. But at the same time, I would rather be playing a team that's been struggling for the last few years than a team that, you know, had a better chance of beating. Anyway, that would be my thing. I don't know if it's a trap game or not. We like to use those phrases and talk about it. But, you know, there's no question. Florida, I'm sure this is what Dan Mullen has preached to them, you know, ad nauseum. I mean, hey guys, this is a league rival. You've got to win this game. All the stuff that if you feel good after the Alabama game, it can all go away on a Saturday night, you know. And so it'll be an interesting to see how they come out and how well they do play in this game.
Do you feel like that, you know, as I mentioned, Heupel's offense is what everybody talked about, but, you know, the defense has made some plays too. Has that kind of been a point of conversation that, okay, maybe Tennessee's defense isn't as bad as everybody thought?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think that they felt like they've got some athletes there, and I watched pretty much all their three games. So, yeah, I mean, they clearly got guys who want to fly around, you know, go get the football, and it's going to come down to more than anything, you know, Mullen, who's just showed this masterful job on Saturday against Alabama. Now he's going to do it against, you know, a different kind of defense, so he'll do something totally different. He'll scheme it up different, and he's been saving everything pretty much for that Alabama game, and now it's all out there. So Tennessee will know everything he wants to do. It'll just be interesting to see how he runs the offense.
Pat Dooley is our guest, expert on the Florida Gators, been covering the sports down in Gainesville for a long time. You can watch, or I should say, listen to his podcast, Another Dooley Noted Podcast. podcast.com. I butchered that. Another duly noted podcast.com. Pat, I grew up in Orlando, down the street, you know, a couple hour drive from where you cover things. I'm just curious what your perception was of Josh Heupel when it was at UCF. I was kind of surprised when they hired Heupel. How many of some people I know down in Orlando were not as thrilled about what he did with UCF as I would have thought?
Well, the problem was he inherited a great team. We all knew that. And every year they got a little bit off. They weren't quite as good. And you kind of felt like there was this downward trend. And I think that's why a lot of people were excited about that. They were okay to have him leave. And then they end up getting Gus Malzahn. We'll see how that all works out. But But yeah, I don't think anybody like shivered in their boots in the SEC when Heupel got hired. I think they just kind of went, at least, you know, it makes some sense. But it was kind of funny, you know, nobody, I don't think too many people have really talked about this, to think that in both cases, you know, the AD at Florida and Tennessee both went to that school and then brought their coaches, but they only brought their coaches because they couldn't find anybody else that was right for the job, and they had, or that would take the job. You know, Florida had that issue with Chip Kelly, and so they both end up with these coaches that from their old school. Which it's amazing to see that happen of two schools in the SEC East.
How do you think you know the pulse of the fan base, and this is basically the case at any number of SEC schools where the bar is so high going in. But Dan Mullen, I know the rap has been, you know, he's not making the big victories in the recruiting game yet, but do you think he's winning over the fan base, the confidence as they have this kind of momentum going forward? I mean, if there's such a thing as a good loss, that was it on Saturday.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that I've ever experienced that in Florida, where the loss has never felt kind of quite like this. Because now Florida fans are like, look, we can play with these guys. We've shown it twice. Nobody else has been able to play with them. So, you know, let's go forward. We'll get them again. That kind of attitude, you know, obviously for Florida fans, you know, there haven't been many losses, or there certainly weren't in the 90s many losses. So where you go, and then when you lost, you felt like crap.
Right. You're supposed to win every game.
Yeah, exactly. So this is kind of a unique experience, I think, for Gator fans. But, like I said, it can be washed away this weekend, or it can be washed away next weekend up in Lexington, where I think a really good football team is waiting for Florida. So they've got to keep this kind of going. And I think the fan base gained some new respect from Mullen because, you know, Hevesy's gotten the criticism as offensive line coach, and he's stuck with him. And now they're, you know, among the nation's leaders in rushing game. And they love the plays and the scheme that Coach Mullen put together for that game. So I think it gave him new respect even within his own Gator Nation.
Pat, great stuff as we expected. Thank you for your time. Enjoy the game on Saturday in the Swamp.
Hey, anytime, guys. We'll see you.
All right. Pat Dooley down in Gainesville. If there's a guy you want to talk Gators with, he is the guy. No question about it. Check out his podcast. As we were talking about before, when we come back, we'll continue to move forward in this final hour of the show. We've talked a lot of Titans Colts today. We had a little sprinkling of Predators training camp. Talked to Dante Fabro. We've got a lot coming. Darren, get it started.
Want to talk to you about Cool Springs MD. You know, you've heard me talk about them for years because I've been going there for years, and they've been helping me for years become healthier and happier. And who doesn't want that? I know I do. And they have given me, they've helped improve my quality of life. And it gets tougher as we age. And there's a lot of things they do under one roof. And I think everybody has experienced this as an adult, right? You've tacked on some pounds you don't want anymore. And you're ready to get rid of them for whatever reason. And weight loss management's important to them. And if that is the case for you right now, where you've got some unwanted pounds that you would like to shed, well, they got programs and products and people that can get you back on track and headed in the right direction ASAP. And they're proud of that. Rejuvenation, your appearance. Hope you think it's important like I do. And it gets tougher as we get older. Well, their experienced staff, which is what they have there at Cool Springs MD, can talk to you about PRP, hair removal, and Botox. Hormone therapy. Maybe you've been feeling off lately. You can't figure out why. You've got some, maybe you don't have any drive or the same energy that you're accustomed to or been experiencing some mood swings. You just feel off. Well, get your levels checked. Maybe they've dipped. Maybe they've dipped to an all-time low, which tends to happen. People don't realize as we age. And they can help you, and they can discuss with you about BHRT, testosterone, and estrogen. So they can help you in that. They do so much. It's a state-of-the-art facility there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. And if you need to schedule an appointment or a consultation with these folks, pick up the phone and dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always go to their website, coolspringsmd.com.